We're going to open our Bibles again this evening to Psalm 119. Over these last few weeks, we've been looking at this great piece of scripture as Spurgeon put it many years ago. He called this the golden alphabet, and it's certainly a golden passage in my opinion. This is, as I've said on previous occasions, my favourite psalm, not just because it's the longest but because of its content. You know, this is what I call God's word, or what God says about his own word. And tonight we're going to see something about God from this psalm. You know, it not only shows us what God has to say about his word, or about his own word that he has spoken, and the characteristics of it, but God also chooses through this psalm to reveal himself and his attributes. Because when he talks about his word, he's really talking about himself, because, you know, God and his word cannot be separated. There's a quotation, a quotation in the secular world, and it goes something like this. Whether I've got it exactly right, I'm not sure, but the quotation is something like this: "A man without his word is nothing. A real man keeps his word. A man without his word is nothing, but a real man keeps his word." Now this theme, although this is a secular quotation, the theme of that quotation is very biblical. And I want to do a lot of jumping from scriptures tonight. But if we just turn to, before we keep your finger or put a bookmark in Psalm 119, because we're going to come back to that. But if we just go to Psalm 15, 1:5, Psalm 15, we read these words. It's only a short psalm, but we read these words in this psalm: "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change." And then the last verse says, "He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." But that last statement of verse 4 says this: "He who swears to his own hurt and does not change." You know, and here the psalmist is saying that, you know, who is it that will abide in your tabernacle? Who is it that will dwell in your holy hill? And he lists a number of attributes of that man. He's got to walk uprightly, work righteousness, speak the truth. He mustn't be a backbiter with his tongue, nor someone who does evil to his neighbor, nor someone who takes up a reproach against his friend, or someone who does not despise a vile person, a man who honors those who fear God. And he says he's a man who must keep his word. A man who swears to his own hurt and not change. We also see the same theme in the book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 2. I'll read it for you, but if you want to turn it up. Verse 2, chapter 30, verse 2 of Numbers. You know, this verse also says that we're to be men and women of our word. It says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. You know, there we must be, as this scripture says, we must be people of our word. That we do according to all that we say and all that we promise. If we do contrary to what we say, Jesus put it like this in the New Testament, addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and he said they were hypocritical, not doing what we say we do. If we say we love God and we don't walk in that love and we don't do what love demands of us, we are hypocritical. If we don't keep our promises, we could say really that we are hypocritical if we don't keep what we have promised or vowed to do. The Apostle John writes in his first letter these lovely words in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. Now it's talking about God's word, but whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps God's word, the love of God is perfected in him. But whoever keeps their own word as well, you know, God honors that person. We're to be men and women of our word. Now tonight, before we look at this Psalm 119, those of you that come regularly will know I don't normally do this, but I've prepared a sheet of scriptures for you tonight, because there are so many verses that I've put many of them down, but we're not going to cover them all tonight, so I thought I'd give you the sheets. Do you want to hand it out, Jane? So you can follow with me, and you'll have the other scriptures, so you don't have to rapidly write them down as I mention them. You can take this home and look at them and go through them. But it starts off right at the top of that sheet there. It says, God is a God of his word. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Let's stop and pause. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Therefore, we can believe every word that he has uttered and spoken forth out of his mouth. You know, that's, we've covered that already in this, looking at this psalm. You know, God's word is true. And we've seen that God, it's his word. That's the fundamental, that was our starting point. It is his word. This is not the word or the teaching of a church or a group or a denomination or any religious leader. This is his word. And we need to settle that once, right at the very beginning. That this is God's word. So every word that he has uttered and every word that he's spoken, we can believe. And because he's a God of his word, because his word is true, because we can believe every word that he has spoken, we understand that God and His Word cannot be separated. You can't take God's Word away from Himself. You know, there's a scripture in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 4 verse 12, and it says this. It says that God's Word is like a double-edged sword. It's alive, it's quick and powerful. But part of that verse says that it penetrates, it pierces the dividing points of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow. You know, God's Word can penetrate deep. You know, there was a preacher once that he took the words of a TV commercial, and this was the TV commercial for a well-known beer, and it was on the TVs in the UK many years ago, and I can't remember the name of the beer now, but that's irrelevant. But the tagline on the commercial was this, that this beer refreshed the other parts that other beers, or the parts that other beers couldn't reach. And this preacher stood up and he says, God's Word refreshes the parts that other books and other words cannot reach. It can penetrate right to the depths of our heart and our spirit. Even, I like what the apostle writes there in Hebrews. He says, even to the dividing points. He can separate soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now what a powerful word God's Word is. So let's turn to Psalm 119 and just see what the psalmist says then about God's Word. And everything we're going to look at tonight is also true of God. It's His attributes, His character. You'll see there, the first one is righteousness. Now there's many verses in Psalm 119, you've got them all listed there on the sheet. But for the sake of time tonight, we'll just look at verse 7, the first one of those. Because the psalmist, he says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Here in this verse, he attributes the Word of God. He says it is righteous. His righteous judgments. Verse 62 says, again, because of your righteous judgments. 75 says, I know that your judgments are right. And so on, if you go through and look at all those verses that I've given you there. 106, 123, 138, 144, 160, 164, 172. You know, God's Word is righteous. And we know God is righteous. He's righteous and just. The Scripture tells us. We have one verse here, Jeremiah 23, verse 6, where God Himself declares by a covenant name that He is the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, He is the Lord our righteousness. His name, His revealed name there, His covenant name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is righteous. Let's look at those, a couple of those other verses I've given you there. Because we're at Psalm 119, let's go back, let's look at the Psalm 116. It's just a few pages back. And here in Psalm 116, the psalmist, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. You know, we have a righteous God. God is righteous. I want us to look at this one here in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 12, because this is a... Here it says here, the leaders of Israel, 2 Chronicles 12 verse 6, the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. You know, the psalmist declared it, the kings declared it, the priests declared it, the prophets declared it. God is righteous. He is right, he is just. He rules in righteousness. You know, we wouldn't argue with that. We serve a righteous God. Neither would we argue with the verse we find in our psalm, verse 68. And I love this one. Psalm 119, verse 68. Listen to this. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. You know, thanks to a great songwriter, Don Moen, we have this little saying now in certain groups where they say, God is good all the time. And all the time,
God is good.
God is good. That's what this verse says. You are good. And you do good. You know, this one verse tells us all that we need to know about the goodness of God. You know, God, I've got to say this. This verse says, you are good and do good. You know, God doesn't put bad things upon us. A lot of people believe that God gives us sickness. God gives us disease. God gives us all bad things. Now, he may allow them to happen to us. That's completely different. But he doesn't give them. Everything God does is good. God is good and does good. He only does good. In actual fact, the scripture says this, and we prayed this morning in as the brethren got together. You know, the scripture tells us in the book of Romans that he works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. He works all things together for good. Even the bad things, he turns them into opportunities for goodness. Now, we may not always see that when we're going through hard times, we're going through troubles and we've got trials and we're feeling as sick as a dog, or we may not always look at it quite like that, but in his divine will, he turns those situations around to bring something good out of them. But let me reiterate, he only does good for us. And there's a few scriptures there if you want to go and look at those. Nehemiah 2:18, Psalm 73:1. 3 John. Let's turn to the third epistle of John and look at this. Verse 11. The third epistle of John, verse 11. The third epistle at the back. Here it tells us, it says, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. But imitate God, basically, is what that verse is saying. Imitate him, do good. The Apostle Luke, he wrote when he was writing the book of Acts, He put it there as they went to the house of Cornelius. Peter stood and he preached, and Luke's recorded it for us, that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, do good. Imitate him. Imitate God. Next we see in this psalm, in Psalm 119, and I can see quickly time is ticking by. Verse 42 says this: "So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word." I trust in your word. You know, this word here, this word trust in the Hebrew here, the implication is that it's a place of safety and refuge. It's a place that we can run to, a place that we can hide, a place that we can find shelter. You know, we can rest and find safety in his word. I trust in his word. We can take refuge under the shadow of his wings, Psalm 91 tells us. In that secret place of the Most High, we can find safety and security, refuge under his wings. Now, God's word is totally trustworthy. We can have boldness and confidence in the word of God. We can have so much confidence in God's word, or we should have so much confidence in God's word, that we build our lives upon what it says. You know, and there we have a few other scriptures. Let's just turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 22. I want to take you through these four, just read these four scriptures. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven." God's word is trustworthy. "He is a shield to all who trust in him." You know, we can find safety in him. He's a shield to those who trust in him. You know, the shield was an important piece of armory that protected the soldier. You know, with that shield, and Paul likened it to faith to a shield. He says, with the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In Ephesians 6. You know, he is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 56, verse 11 says this: "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do you know the worst thing that a man can do to anybody is put him to death? And then, that's not bad after all. It may not be good for those that our loved ones and those that we leave behind, but if we're put to death, we immediately go to him. What can man do to me? In God I have put my trust. I am not afraid. I will not be afraid. Let's look at Psalm 62, verse 8. Tr- trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Then the last one, we'll just read from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. You know, we I want you to know the way that verse is worded. Because it talks about trusting in the living God who is the Savior of all men. And we preach that God is the Savior. Rightly so. But then Timothy adds up, Paul adds on this to Timothy. He says, especially of those who believe. How much more will God save us who believe? If we find ourselves in hard times. You know, he is trustworthy. We can trust him with every part of our life. Now, if I don't move on, we will run out of time before we finished. The next thing we read in the psalm, it actually comes from the next verse in Psalm 119, verse 43. Well, one of the references says, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. And we've already seen this, Psalm 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. And a couple of other verses there, 142 and 151. God's word is true. It is stable. It is sure and certain. Verse 160 says, the entirety of it is true. And God himself is also true. He can be trusted. He is dependable. He will not fail. Perhaps you've got the King James there, Jane. Can you read that verse in Deuteronomy? Three verses. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 to 8. This verse in Deuteronomy just, for me, just sounds a little better in the original King James, rather than the 31:6-8.
Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of the Lord thy God. He is who doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. And the Lord, he it is who doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, he will be dismayed.
He will not fail thee. Well, he will not leave you or forsake you. We have in the New King James and other translations. But he will not fail. You know, we have a few other scriptures there. You know, God can be trusted. He is true. Let me just turn up this verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, verse 10. I told you there was a lot of scriptures tonight. And you'll have to go. We can continue next week, or we can. But you have the sheet there. You can go through them at home as well. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. You know, the Lord is the true God. He is the true and living God. John 3, verse 33. Here, John records this. He says, "He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true." John certifies here, guarantees that God is true. And then Jesus in his prayer in John 17 verse 3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." The prophets declared it, the disciples declared it, Jesus himself declared it, that God is true. In verse 86 of our psalm, the psalmist says, "All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me." All your commandments are faithful. God is forever faithful to his word. He will not allow one of those words to fall. I've put on the sheet there. He will not allow one jot or tittle to fail. Jeremiah 1:12 tells us that he is watching over his word to bring it to pass. He keeps an eye on his word. He's watching his word to see that it comes to pass. I mean, you can turn this scripture up if you like, but here in Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:19, it says that God didn't allow one of Samuel's words to fail. Everything Samuel said came to pass. You know, God is faithful. You know, when Samuel spoke the word of God as it was inspired to him, not one word failed. God is faithful. He keeps his word. He cannot break his word. And again, there are, I've just given you four scriptures. You know, there are many more. I've only just put a few down on the sheet. But Deuteronomy 7:9 tells us that he is a faithful God. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. The prophet Hosea. And in chapter 11 and verse 12 says, Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful. He's a faithful God. I believe we read it this morning. He is a faithful high priest. He is faithful. I love all these attributes of God. He's righteous. He's good. He's trustworthy. He's true and faithful. But I particularly like this next one we read in verse 89. It says there, verse 89, and we've already looked at it as a lesson in the previous week, that his word is forever settled in heaven. His word, your word, is forever settled in heaven. You know, his word does not change. And neither does God. He never changes. Hebrews tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the book of James, James 1:17, it says that there is no variation or shadow of turning with him. He doesn't change. Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Psalm 89 verse 34. Here God says, he will not alter one word that's gone out of his mouth. He will not change his word. That's why we can trust it. He doesn't change. If it's what we said right at the very beginning. You know, God says what he means and means what he says. He never changes. He's an unchangeable God. Let me quickly read through these last three, and then you can look the scriptures up at home. In verse 90, it says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You know, God's word is eternal. Concerning your testimonies, verse 152 says, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. You know, he is the eternal God. Yes, his word is has been established from of old. And God is the eternal God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, I've put on the sheet then this one line in the Bible that confirms to me that God is eternal. It's the very first line of Scripture. In the beginning, God. Enough said, as far as I'm concerned. In the beginning, God. He is eternal. He was there in the beginning. He was already there. He will be there, I was going to say at the end, but at the end of the earth, he will be there. But we will be with him for eternity. He is the eternal God. And you can look those scriptures up from Genesis, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Romans, and Timothy as well. Verse 105 says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word brings illumination and revelation. God's word enlightens us. That's how we build our lives. You know, we make our decisions. I think we looked at that last week. Making our decisions in line with the word of God. Why? Because it gives light. It gives illumination. It gives revelation. I've told the story before about the woodman. A weary traveller is on his way home, and he has to get home. He's on his way to, I don't know whether he was going home or whether he was going to a place where he could get a rest for the night, but he had to cut through a large wooded forestry area, and it was already getting dark, and he wasn't sure whether he should go through, but there was a woodman there who was just finishing off cutting some logs and to take back to his house. And he took a bit of wood and he set fire to it, and he gave it to the traveller. And the traveller asked him, "Well, what good's this good?" And he said, "It will see you home. It will get you home. You can go in the light of it. You know, we can go in the light of God's word. It will bring us to our destination. God is our light. He is our guide. He is the captain of our lives. He will see us home. He is the author and finisher of our faith," Hebrews tells us. Then finally, this last one. Verse 140. Your word is very pure. Therefore your servant loves it. You know, this word pure means to be tried and tested, to be proven true or refined, as to go through the fire. You know, God's word tries us. God's word refines us. God's word builds us up, makes us stronger. And the Lord is the refiner. And his word is tried and tested in the crucibles of our hearts. Let's just look at this verse here in the closing book of the Old Testament, Malachi. If you don't know where it is, find a page that says New Testament and go back one. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." We've already read from Psalm 7, I believe, when we were looking at righteousness, where it says that his word is proven. And to close with and finish tonight, let's just go to Psalm 105. This one verse, verse 19. You know, here, this verse is talking about Joseph. You know, Joseph had those dreams, and you know, God revealed to him some things. The word of God came to him. And he went through some tough times. It says here in verse 17 he was sold as a slave. In verse 18 it says they hurt his feet with fetters. He was put in irons. Verse 19 says this, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tried him. The word of God proved him. And then it came to pass. Until the word of the Lord came to pass, it tested him and tried him. You know, God, where finds us? You know, I said in one of those, when we're looking at the goodness, that God doesn't put bad things on us. You know, God chastises us, but he doesn't do it through things. A lot of people say, well, that's God's judgment on you. God judges us according to his word. He doesn't give us sickness to judge us. He doesn't give us sickness to test us. His word tests us. His word chastises us. His word corrects us. God's word refines us, purges us, brings us out strong. You know, it is pure. He is pure. He is just. He's fair. You know, we just see those things from Psalm 119, all about God. God is righteous. God is good. God is totally trustworthy. He's true. He is faithful and unchangeable. He is eternal. He is light. John 1:7 says that. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And God is pure. He is the refiner. You know, take time. Go through those scriptures again. You've got them there. Read all of the scriptures and just restudy this psalm. You know, there's so much in it. And God willing, we'll go on with it next Sunday. Next Sunday in the morning. No, we won't do it next Sunday.